really wasn't bad when we went to breakfast. Good morning, everyone. If we'd all take our places and keep our bright, shiny faces, it is time to begin. I wish my students at school had done as fast as sitting down as... Well, I have a few announcements. Please sign the registration pad and pass it down your pew. Today is Noisy Can. Coffee hour will be downstairs. Birthday cards and note cards are on the back table, and you can pick up your newsletter on the buffet in the back, and it gives all the birthdays for September. And I'd like to thank Dave McGinn and Rich Weber and Rick Forrell for bringing Anna to church so many Sundays. And please send a note or give a call to shut-ins. Are there any other announcements? Do we have any joys or concerns? Barb? Okay, for Melissa. Sherry? So pray for Mark. Okay, let's ring the bell. Oh, wait, another one? Rich. Bob Otto, who lost his wife. All right, now we'll ring the bell. Stand for the call to worship. We are children of God. Therefore, let us worship the Lord with sincere hearts.
We are God's children because God loves us, and we worship God because we love Him as our Heavenly Father.
As children of God, we are challenged to live like Jesus. We strive to follow His example.
May we worship God each day as we live in obedience to His word.
Let's continue with the opening prayer. Heavenly Father, as your trusting children, we know that we can count on your love. You have given us your Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee of all that you have in store for us. We come now to give praise and thanks as we seek to know your will for each one of us gathered here today. Amen. Now we'll sing 662, Stand Up and Bless the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I was talking to my wife, and I said, I'll bet, though I'm not a gambling person, I said, I'll bet there will not be any shorts in church today. And I think I was right about that. And then we had this other thought. This is not the first time that we have been pastors of a church that is in a resort community. Years ago, when I was a lot younger, we were up at Empire, which is on Lake Michigan, west of Traverse City. It's more... there are a lot more tourists in Empire now than there were back in those days. But I remember that for the Empire community, at least, there was sort of a mixed attitude about tourists that came. And I believe it was either Labor Day weekend or the following weekend. There was a group that had a little picnic down at the beach in Empire, and they had a sign up that said, "Goodbye, Budgies." They were happy to have the tourists come, but then they looked forward to that time in the fall and winter when things were more quiet. Understandable. But Budgie was the word for people like you and I. And I remember when I was living up there, we stopped someplace for a Dairy Queen, and I got a little upset, and I came back, and I said to Mary, they treated me just like I was a fudgie. And there was an article in the Traverse City paper one time. One of the classes at the high school had gone on a trip somewhere in Canada, and the article was a little essay that said basically, everybody's a fudgie somewhere. It's true. But glad you're here. Whether you're a fudgie or whatever, we're glad you're here this morning. I'd like to invite you to a time of prayer, silent prayers, pastoral prayer, share the Lord's Prayer together, and then for our prayer chorus, we'll sing from Faith We Sing, 2149, just the first verse, Living for Jesus. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together. This is the day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. Thankful that we can be together and offer our worship and praise to you, O God. Thankful for your goodness and your presence in our lives. We're thankful for so many gifts of your love and grace. Grateful for family and friends. Grateful for that measure of health and strength we experience in our lives each day. Thankful for opportunities for work and service to enjoy life and to enjoy the gifts that you have given to us. We thank you for your great love and for your Son Jesus, who lived and died and was raised with power for us. We thank you for his life, his teaching, his death on the cross, and his resurrection with power. We have come to know you through him, and so we give you praise and attempt to express the gratitude we have in our hearts. We're thankful that you're a God who cares about people. You care about those who have been named in our service, those whose names are on the prayer list, and those we carry in our hearts. We lift our prayers together for these hurting people. We ask for grace and mercy and your presence in their lives. We offer prayers for our world. We pray for those who are in places of violence and injustice. We pray for our missionaries who serve you and share your love and help people. We offer prayers for our nation and our leaders. We pray that they might seek and find your wisdom and be used by you for your purpose in our nation and world. We offer prayers for your church. We pray for that larger church. We pray for the churches here in Saugatuck, Douglas, and surrounding area. Help us together to be faithful to you and be used by you to share your love. We offer prayers for our United Methodist Church and the division that is taking place as we struggle together to be your church. We pray that you would be a part of what happens and decisions that are made, and your very best can come from the differences that now divide us. We offer prayers for this time together and for this gathering of your people. We pray that even as we worship you, you might minister to us. Hear us now as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. The scripture reading today is Psalm 30, found on page 487 of your Pew Bible. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. The word of God for the people of God.
At this time, we'll share together in our prayer for healing. And when I pause, that will be the moment you may speak the name or names of people that we would pray for this morning, either aloud or silently. And it doesn't matter if we speak over each other, because our prayer is to God. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for Lord, in your mercy. So a heads up for our ushers. If you can find the noisy cans in the office, we can have a noisy can offering. Otherwise, I have some baskets here we can use. Our ushers are going to wait upon us, and we'll receive our tithes and offering.
Thank you.
God, it's our prayer that you would accept the gifts that we present to you this day. Use our offering and us in your service to your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now we'll sing Nothing But the Blood, found on 362.
Scripture this morning is found in Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading with verse 7 and end with verse 10. Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 7. It's on page 180 in your pew Bible. Paul writes, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Here ends our reading of the scripture. One of the things about some of these phones we have these days is if you don't understand something, it's really easy to look it up and find out. And there was this commercial on TV selling some brand of car, and they talked about the rule of three. And I said, I never heard of the rule of three. I don't think it exists. But I looked it up online, and sure enough, there is a rule of three. And I thought to myself, well, probably there's a rule of two. Two is better than one. Three is better than two. Rule of four, and you go on and on. It depends on what it is, though, of course. If it's something bad, not so good. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about what has been called the rule of harvest. The rule of harvest. I remember when I was a little boy, my grandpa, after lunch, would go out in the front yard, sit under the trees in the shade, and sometimes he would read the paper. Sometimes somebody would come by and he would talk to them, and he would tell stories. I've told you about some of the stories that he told. And so I don't know the veracity of these stories, but this is one he told about when he was a boy, a young boy, with his brothers, and they were planting a field by hand. And I don't know if they were planting corn or wheat or rye, oats, something. And their dad had left them. And it was a hot day, and they got tired. And so instead of planting the seed where they were supposed to, they took what they had left. They lifted a big rock, and they planted it underneath that rock. And for a while, no one knew. Especially their dad, he didn't know, but, you know, as the weather warmed up and it rained, and what was planted came up, what wasn't planted didn't come up, but around this big rock, the seeds and the young plants came up, and so they were found out. Our scripture this morning is the law of the harvest. Put in a different way, it is as you sow, so shall you reap. What you sow brings your harvest. A young dad was complaining about how his kids were acting, and he thought about his kids and their disobedience. And he also thought about how he acted when he was a boy growing up. And words that came into his mind were, what goes around comes around. Another way of saying, what we sow, we reap. I haven't always liked that expression, what goes around comes around. I thought it was a little bit judgmental. You know, it goes along with these expressions. What did you expect? You should have known better. They kind of carry an attitude of smugness, an attitude that's not very nice towards those who have failed or fallen. But the expression, what goes around comes around, is really an observation of life. It describes the cause and effect relationship in life. That's what Paul is talking about. It's an observation that comes from Scripture. This is Paul's words. Whatever a man sows, that will he reap. The Amplified Bible expresses it more forcefully. It says, "For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap." I think we all can grasp that truth, especially when the results of what we do are close, that are immediate. Now, I don't think anyone here would do this, although I think people have tried to do this, but as a rule, we wouldn't try to run a red light on 28th Street in Grand Rapids during heavy traffic, because it would be dangerous. It would be suicidal. The signals are there to be obeyed, and if they're not obeyed, there are tragic consequences. But, you know, when that relationship between cause and effect is delayed, we're not always so careful. We've lived in some places where there were lots of back roads with very, very little traffic. And so oftentimes people driving on those roads, they might slow down a little bit, but there was no traffic. There was no reason until one time. One time out of hundreds or maybe thousands of times, there was someone coming from the other way, and the consequences were not good. In science, this law of reaping and sowing is called or expressed, "For every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction." It's one of the principles that we use in our everyday lives. Most of us rode in cars to church. They are using that principle. You're sitting on pews. They're using that principle. It's a basic law that exists, and it has an impact on our lives. And it doesn't matter whether we understand it or not, it still is true and still works out. And so the God who made the universe also has established spiritual laws. And one of those laws is the law of sowing and reaping. This is the way the Living Bible puts it. "Don't be misled. Remember that you can't ignore God and get away with it. A man will always reap just the kind of crop he sows. Sowing and reaping is a fact of life. And because the harvest is not always immediate or apparent, some choose to ignore or not believe. But the harvest is sure." And that saying is true as well. What goes around comes around. So Paul says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. The idea here is not that someone else is misleading or deceiving us. Rather, it's the idea of self-deception, self-delusion. The denial of the law of harvest finds expression in a variety of attitudes. It can't happen to me. If I'm careful, I won't get caught. It can't hurt anyone. Just once won't do any harm. No one will know. But Paul says the law of harvest works regardless of our attitude towards it. It's not just for negative harvest, but also for positive harvest. Sometimes I get curious, and I do these little searches on the internet. Now, for instance, if you do a search on my name, you're going to find oodles and oodles of funerals. Because it's been part of my life. And I got curious about someone that had an impact on my life back when I was a young pastor. And his name was Dale Sutherland. He was principal of the Glen Lake Elementary School. He went to the church I pastored in Empire. And he got sick with cancer and passed away, and I had his service. He was a fairly young man. He had children at home, well-known in the community, very well-liked. And I'll tell you a little bit more about how he impressed me, but out of curiosity, I did a search on his name, and I came up with his son's name, Bob Sutherland, who I believe owns and operates the Cherry Republic. I'm not sure exactly what that is. But he was asked to write something for Father's Day in 2018. And so he wrote a tribute to his dad, Dale Sutherland. And I was amazed of the influence that Dale had on his son, even to this day. That was close to 40 years ago when his dad died. And one of the things he talked about was how his dad wanted to have fun. I think probably a better word would have been to live a fulfilled life that includes fun, enjoying life. And he said they had moved from the Detroit area up to Glen Lake because he said, Dad said they would have more fun there than down in Detroit, which I can understand. And so it was quite a loss for him, understandable, when his dad died. And he went through a lot of stuff before he finally came to grips with it and began to appreciate the lessons that his dad had been teaching him about life. The thing that I remember about Dale is how he handled his illness. And I remember the Sunday that he came to church, not able to walk easily, using a cane. And there was a time in the service where he stood up and he gave his testimony about what God was doing in his life. It wasn't anything super spiritual. It was something very practical and real. Honestly, over the years, I've had lots and lots of funerals for people. They kind of blur together after a while. But I still remember Dale. And I remember one of the times I was out to their house and a picture they showed me of Dale Sutherland, the principal of the elementary school. Two little girls with big grins on their faces were twirling a jump rope, and Dale was there in the middle, jumping, doing jump rope with those kids. He was the kind of guy that every kid would have loved to have as their principal. He loved life. He loved children. He loved his work. And as I thought about that, I thought about this law of sowing and reaping. Dale had sowed seed in his family, and the harvest was evident in the tribute that his son wrote to him so many years later. Every day we have the opportunity to sow seed, and it is from that seed that the harvest for our lives will be reaped. I preached a sermon a while back, and I was talking to someone after the service, and I had said in that sermon, the scriptures tell us that the sins of the fathers will be visited on the children to the second and the third generation. That's a cause and effect, a sowing of seeds, a harvest. And they said to me, rightly so, I wish you would have said something about the positive side. And they were right. Our lives can have a positive impact on other people, the second and third generation and beyond. And I read that tribute to Dale, written by his son, and I thought to myself at the time, he had a positive impact on his family, but he had a positive impact on lots of people that were around him. A harvest, seeds planted. So the challenge for you and for me is to plant those good seeds. And Paul says, God is not mocked. There will be a harvest. And then he goes on to say, don't grow weary, because in due season you will reap. And that's the challenge for us, to take every opportunity to sow those good seeds that come from our faith and our love for God. Heavenly Father, help us to know that each day, in every action, we have the opportunity to sow seeds of love and kindness and grace and hope. Help us to do that, and help us to have a harvest that we can give thanks to you for. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand as we sing our last hymn. It's hymn number 380, There's Within My Heart a Melody.
Peace, peace, peace. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the stories I shall make my life. Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Our coffee fellowship this morning is in the basement. You're all invited to stay for that. Let's share the benediction together as printed in the bulletin. Grant us, O Lord, that which we have spoken with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that which we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.